hefting the rifle in one hand. It felt light, more like a child's toy than a weapon that could protect them. Defia shouted, "Look! Birds!" They looked up as a flock of brightly colored birds swooped past, wings glittering in the sunlight. They certainly looked like birds on Earth, Jordan thought, no matter what Meek thinks.
Squirrels, insects, birds, Brandon said. Why not people?
Turning slowly, Jordan looked all around him. He saw Defia and Meek gazing at the birds as they flew off into the distance. The two inert rovers with the robots bent over them. Their own buggy. And Brandon standing beside him with that sullen, stubborn look he'd known since childhood, cradling the rifle in his arms. There's absolutely no sign of intelligent life on this planet, Bran. You know that.
I know what I saw.
Gripping his brother's shoulder, Jordan smiled and said, Well, if you're right, we'll run into him again, I imagine.
You're humoring me, Jordy.
Perhaps I am, Jordan admitted. What else can I do?
Help me look for him.
I don't think we should get too far away from the others. And the buggy.
Keeping your line of retreat open?
It's the sensible thing to do, don't you agree?
Sensible, Brandon said. But wrong.
And he started off deeper into the forest.
Bran, wait, Jordan called, trotting after him. I saw a man, Brandon insisted. A man in a long robe. It was sort of bluish.
Jordan grabbed for his brother's arm again and dragged him to a halt.
All right, you saw a man. But there's no sign of him now. That doesn't mean if he exists, we'll see him again, no doubt.
In the meantime, I think it's foolish to go crashing off into these woods before we know more about what this place is like. Brandon stood there, glaring at his brother for several silent moments. Then, very deliberately, he clicked open the neck ring of his biosuit and lifted up the edge of his bubble helmet. The helmet deflated into a sagging lump of nanofabric, and Brandon pulled it off his head entirely. Jordan was so shocked he didn't know what to do, what to say.
There, Brandon said. I'm breathing this world's air. It's not harming me.
Jordan had to swallow hard before he could say,
How do you know that? There could be microbes, viruses, all kinds of... Good morning, sirs.
They whirled around toward the sound of the softly melodious voice. Standing 15 meters before them was a tall, lean, totally bald, vaguely oriental-looking man in an ankle-length pale blue robe, holding a small furry creature in the palm of one hand and gently stroking it with the other. Audrey.
I am Audrey,
the man said, his soft voice almost a whisper.
Welcome to New Earth.
Jordan stared at the man, blinked once, twice, then gaped at him again. Standing beside him, Brandon was equally goggle-eyed. The man smiled gently.
I hope I haven't shocked you. The question of a first meeting is always very delicate, don't you think?
His face was spider-webbed with age, Jordan saw. He was quite tall, a few centimeters taller than Meek, and appeared to be very slim beneath his long robe. His eyes were almond-shaped, pale blue. The hue of his skin was faintly brownish-yellow, almost gray. His cheeks were gaunt, hollow. His hands were thin, with long talon-like fingers that slowly stroked the furry thing he was holding. Meek and Defia came running up to them.
Well, I'll be damned, said Meek.
Defia said nothing. He simply stared.
I am Audrey, the man repeated with a gentle smile. I hope you'll forgive the somewhat dramatic scenario we've concocted to produce this first meeting.
It was a surprise, Jordan admitted. Then he said, My name is Jordan Kell. This is my brother, Dr. Brandon Kell, Dr. Harmon Meek, and Dr. Silvio Defia.
You said we, Brandon snapped, almost accusingly. There's more of you?
Oh my, yes, of course. There would have to be, wouldn't there?
Jordan asked, Who are you? How many of you are there? Looking slightly embarrassed, Audrey replied,
Oh, there's a goodly number of us here. I'm afraid we've kept ourselves hidden from your orbiting cameras.
You look human, Jordan said, his voice hollow with awe. You speak English.
Yes. We thought it best to make our first meeting as comfortable for you as possible. There's no way to entirely avoid the shock, of course, but we do want to make it as easy for you as we can.
Then you're not really human, Meek asked.
Oh, yes. I'm as human as you are.
Convergent evolution, Defia said, his voice awed. Audrey shook his bald head.
Not quite. It's a bit more complicated than that.
He slid the little pet into the folds of his robe, then clasped his long fingers together as if in prayer.
But only for a moment. Pointing to the rifle still in Jordan's hands, Audrey said softly,
If those are weapons, you won't need them here. There are no dangerous animals in this forest.
Ignoring that, Brandon asked,
This is your home world? You live on this planet? Yes, of course, said Audrey. I would be pleased to show you our community.
By all means, said Brandon. Wait a moment, Jordan said. We should report this to the others.
Your colleagues aboard the ship? Of course. I'll be happy to greet them.
Audrey started toward the buggy, the four men following him. Brandon rushed ahead, dumped his rifle in the back of the buggy, then slipped into the driver's seat. Jordan heard him speaking excitedly over the communications link. Jordan moved beside Audrey, who paced along leisurely. The glossy-furred animal peeked out from the robe, big round eyes glittering, then ducked back inside again. Meek came up on Audrey's other side, and Defia trailed a few paces behind.
By the way, Audrey said, you really don't need those protective coverings you're wearing. There's nothing in the air here that can harm you.
Jordan felt his brows knitting. How can you know that? How can you be so sure? Pointing to Brandon, still jabbering excitedly with Thornberry, Audrey replied,
He's breathing the air.
He's an impetuous young man, said Jordan.
But he's unharmed.
Jordan stared at the alien for a long, wordless moment, thinking, Can we trust him? Does he know what he's talking about? Is he telling us the truth? Turning to Meek, Jordan asked, Harmon, what do you think? Would it be all right to get out of the biosuits? Glancing toward Brandon, Meek answered, Let your brother be our guinea pig. He's volunteered for the honor. Jordan asked Audrey to sit beside Brandon so that Thornberry and the others aboard the ship could see him. On the smallish display screen, their expressions were almost comical as they crowded around Thornberry. Wonder, surprise, open-jawed awe. That must be what I looked like a few minutes ago, Jordan thought. They were all talking at once. Thornberry began to look irritated as the rest of the team jostled him.
I am pleased to meet you all,
Audrey said, his voice suddenly strong enough to cut through their jabber.
I am delighted that you made the journey here, and I wish you well.
Literally pushing the others away, Thornberry admitted,
To say that we're surprised would be a grand understatement.
I understand, said Audrey.
Standing outside the buggy at Audrey's side, Jordan wondered, Why aren't you surprised? You seem almost to have been expecting us. Audrey turned to him with his patient smile.
We've been observing you for a long time, watching your video broadcasts, monitoring your radio emissions. We detected your ship taking up an orbit around this planet. We projected a laser beacon to inform you of our presence. You quickly grasped its significance and sent your pair of machines here.
And you conked them out,
said Thornberry's image on the comm screen, almost accusingly. Audrey looked slightly embarrassed.
Yes, I'm afraid we did disable them. We wanted you to come here yourselves. Making our first contact through your machines would have been awkward.
Can you turn the rovers back on? Thornberry asked.
Oh, yes, of course. You'll find that they are both in perfect working order now.
Thornberry glanced down. Jordan concluded he was working his console screen.
Well, I'll be dipped in sheep droppings, he muttered. They're both humming as if they'd never been off.
It's been a pleasure to meet all of you,
Audrey said in his gentle, genial tone. Then he slipped out of the seat to stand beside Jordan.
Now, if you're willing, I would like to show you our community.
Pointing deeper into the forest, Audrey said,
It's only a few kilometers in that direction.
Why don't you sit up front with Brandon, said Jordan.